You guys know there's a lot of work that goes into this. Really, our scouts have been on the road since August. So, you know, that's a lot of time away from their families, a lot of hard work. Our coaches have been highly involved in this process. And in our personnel world, this is our Super Bowl coming up. So we're excited. We're prepared. There's a large part of me that wishes that draft was tonight, right now. But we're ready to go. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Do you sleep well the night before the draft?
Well, this will be my first night before the draft as a general manager, so I'll have to answer that question later. But I sleep pretty well. I feel. Hey, this, the hay's in the barn. We've gone through every scenario. We got our board stacked correctly, so I'm gonna sleep well.
Ren, how much uncertainty do you sense there is in the six picks above you?
You know, I feel certain with how we have them. So there'll be a couple things every year that surprises you. And hey, when that happens, that's a good thing, because now there's players being pushed down to us. I feel confident and certain where we have our guys stacked in, you know, in front of us. And so, but as far as projecting what other teams will do, who knows? You know?
How different does the role feel as GM as opposed to the way you've headed into the draft before?
You know, it's a little different. Before, you know, you're making recommendations, but when the draft starts, you can sit back and cross your arms and say, you know, it's different when you're the guy making those choices, but it's a collaborative effort. And I'm confident. I think the confidence comes from the preparation, the time we put into this.
Ryan, when there's a position that's really deep in the draft, how do you sort of weigh the value of waiting versus getting one of those guys that's in the top tier at that position?
I think it just depends on how impactful you feel those guys are in the top. An impactful player is an impactful player no matter what the depth is in the draft. So if you feel like he's an impact player, then hey, I think you go ahead and take that, regardless of the depth,
Ryan,
of that position.
There are a couple of players with marijuana arrests. How do you guys do your homework on that, and how far does that drop? Not only the arrest itself, but knowing that they're getting in trouble when, you know, it's 3 days before the draft.
Exactly, and a lot of those things, you know, that the evaluation process of their character goes all the way up until the draft starts, really. And honestly, if there's been one thing, there's been multiple things, but one thing that really stands out about me with our group of scouts here is the detail and the thoroughness they've done with their character. So these guys have gone far back. So I feel strong, and obviously it all carries weight. And there's a risk reward when you're talking about medical decisions or character decisions, and that affects our draft board. It definitely does. But I'm really proud of the character and the background that our scouts have done for this draft.
Have you fielded any calls for pick seven?
We have. We've talked to teams behind us and all the teams in front of us. So everybody, really, right now at this point, there's nothing concrete. There's just feelers both ways.
Do you have a sense of which player will be available, of which position you're taking, or is it all?
It's all uncertain? Like, you know, if we stay at seven, there's seven players we've identified that we feel really, really good about. You know, so I know there's going to be a player that we can select that's going to be there that we feel really good about, that we're excited about. But hey, if the right opportunity is there for us to go back a little bit, we've kind of have established clouds at different points in the draft to know if we go back to this point, this is the group of players we're talking about. If we go back to this point, this is the group of players we're talking about. So all those scenarios and discussions have been going on for a while now.
How far down would you be willing to go? Because the deeper you go, the, you know, less sure.
We have a point where we know this is as far as we would go. I don't want to give that number right here, but we do have a set number where we wouldn't really want to drop behind that.
Is that dependent on how many players would drop? You know, just where you said you have seven, you consider where you want to be. If some of those drop, that does that dictate how far back you go?
It could. And again, you know, it's all, you always got to have the value for the trade back has got to be there. You know, some guys throw out some crazy scenarios where, hey, that makes no sense. But if we have an opportunity to go back and we still feel we can get an impact player, and hey, everybody's always trying to acquire more picks. We have a lot of needs. We only have six picks, so if we have an opportunity to acquire more picks and still feel like we can go back and feel good about the player we'll select, we'll definitely consider that.
Do you use you have a chart that you use to point?
I have a point chart, and it actually has it's got four different points charts on there, because different teams use different charts, so I kind of have a feel for what each team's working off of in regards to their points, and you work through that.
What positions among those seven different players?
What positions?
How many different? I don't have to name which ones. I thought that would help.
Oh man!
Can we get some
you know what? I knew coming into this there's going to be a lot of these questions, and there's this large part of me that after the draft I want to sit down with you. We'll all go have beers individually, and I'll tell you all the stories, and I'd be happy to. But right now, guys, it's like I don't do anything to hurt our chances.
Will you pick up the fifth year option for Shane McFaulin?
No, we've already spoken to his agent. No.
Have the workouts this week affected at all the way you're thinking about the first pick?
The mini camp?
Yeah.
That's a good question. This is good to see. It really is. It's good to see our players in person. But it's with just, the workouts we're doing here with just the shorts and T-shirts, it won't really impact the draft.
During the draft, how will you conduct it? Do you encourage discussion? Is it a one-man takeover?
The discussions have gone on so much over the last months. All those hard discussions have already taken place. We'll have all of our area scouts in the draft room with us. And so if there's ever some last-minute detail, they've known these guys for 3-4 years, a lot of them. So those guys will be in there. Our pro scouts will be in there to help us with trade scenarios with other NFL teams and also team needs where we think players will take. Cliff Stein's in there to help with trades. John Fox is in there. Josh Lucas is in there. But as far as a lot of discussions, those have already all been, kind of handled by now.
Ryan, in general, how comfortable are you drafting a guy you haven't brought in for a
team? Good, because we've talked, there's been meetings at the combine, we've gone to their schools, so if we haven't brought somebody in, then we feel good about where we're at as far as the whole picture of their makeup.
So you saved that meeting here at Hallis Hall for guys you have further questions for, is that fair to say?
It's a combination of things. Sometimes you'll bring guys in for further questions. It might be character, it might be intelligence, it might be further medical questions. And quite honestly, sometimes your 30 visits, you save for a couple guys you're recruiting for potential college free agents. That happens.
So. Ryan, have you been in contact with Matt Forte?
Yes, I have. I've talked to his agent. I've talked to him. So we have been in contact.
How would you characterize, I can't go into too much detail, but those conversations?
Yeah, it's good. And I know these are individual choices by each player, and I understand this is voluntary. With him and Martellus, of course we'd want them to be here. Especially year one, we're building chemistry and culture. But those are individual choices, and, hey, these are voluntary right now.
I know you were joking about sleeping, but will you sleep here this week during the draft?
those nights have happened weeks back.
Really?
So now it's kind of like, all right, I'm good. I hopefully don't look too bad right now. But I'm good right now. I feel good. It's because it's the preparation. And there's a great group of guys up there with me. So I feel really good where we're at. But there will be a moment, really this last 4 months, guys, as it's been, there'll be a moment where you can, after the draft, you can just, and I know my daughter will be excited about that.
Ryan,
so.
A lot of buzz about the receiving class this year.
Mm-hmm.
Do you already feel like you have maybe a number one receiver in Alshon Jeffery?
Well, Alshon's a great player, but I think, that's a position you can always add to. More weapons is better. Impact players on offense or defense, they're available at different points in the draft. This is a deep receiver draft, though. To pair guys up with Alshon, that wouldn't be a bad thing.
How deep is this draft for edge rushers, compared to the last
one? It's good. It's really good. There's some of these guys are a little bit undersized, so you're projecting that they can add a little weight in a couple of them. But it's a good draft of edge rushers. So,
is length something that's terribly important to you at that position, or how do you?
I would say philosophically, for the most part, it is. Length is important. Now, some guys are able to get away with it, like the Freenies of the world and the Robert Mathises of the world, because they got such great get-off and edge quickness and ability to bend. But for the most part, length is important, and I think we talked about that with Pernell McPhee. I think his length really helps him as a pass rusher.
When you say impact player, is there that extra pressure when you're picking that high to make sure you get someone that you can find a significant role for to contribute right away?
Yeah, when you're picking in the top 10, you're hoping and you're confident you're going to get an impact player that's going to get this franchise role. And I think, I think about it, you look back to any successful Super Bowl team, and there's a draft that took place that kind of set the foundation for that team. I don't want to talk about New Orleans too much, but the 2006 draft for the Saints, I think, propelled them for that 2009 Super Bowl. And so, that's your goal going into this, is that this draft here sets us up for a lot of success in years to come.
In comparison to the past drafts, how strong is this draft in the top 10?
It's strong. It's strong. It's strong. It really is. And so that's why it's a good position to be in right now.
Ryan, do you have a general draft philosophy, just generally speaking, on how many starters, how many Pro Bowlers, what you try and accomplish during the weekend?
It's hard. You don't want to, because different positions have different expectations, different points in the draft, so you don't want to just, pin yourself in on that.
When you look at the nose tackle in the 3-4, and you guys distinguish between how often you'll be in the base and the pickle, mm-hmm. and everything, what are some of the top requirements for that position, and do you have to have a nose tackle that can be a three-down player?
You know, the top requirements are obviously ability to play stout, take on double teams and clog those interior gaps, play with pad level and leverage and all those things. In a perfect world, you'd like those guys to also be able to rush the passer, but a lot of times they're so dynamic as a first and second down player, you know you're given a little pass rush, you know.
And you're willing to make that trade-off?
If he's dynamic enough as a run stuffer, you are, you know, because you got enough, on third down, you got enough other guys you can bring into the game.
Ryan, when you first started talking to us, you brought up character. Guys that have off-field issues going into this draft,
mm-hmm.
how important will that role play in your decision?
It's very important. I think, you know, when you look at character, it's, you know, there's a couple things. There's football character, right? Like, how is he as a teammate? You know, is he passionate about the game? Does he really love this? Because that's what's hard to figure out, is what's in their hearts. Do they really, really love football? And then you also have the off-the-field stuff. I mean, he's representing our organization, the McCaskies, the city of Chicago. So those weigh on your shoulders heavily, and that's really analyzed thoroughly. And that's why, again, I'm really proud of the character that's been dug up by our scouts, because I feel like we got a lot of good information on these guys.
Do you have draftable prospects that you've had to remove from your board or refrain from putting on there to begin with?
That's a good question. There's guys that we've taken off our board because of character issues or medical issues, and so they're off our board. And then there's guys that are flagged of, okay, we're aware of this issue. There's some concern here, so it's going to drop him, but at some point in the draft you might consider, you know, making that selection.
Ryan, has it been difficult for the scouts because the player profile has changed in terms of your defense?
You know, it's been good with our coaches. That's our coaches and Vic Fangio and those guys and John Fox communicating with those guys, getting us all on the same page, and they have adapted pretty quickly. So that's gone very well. And there's been another adaption. We're using a different grading scale. So I appreciate their ability to adapt to that as well. So there's been a couple things that are going on. The process has been smooth.
Ryan, you talked about trying to fill out your roster in free agency so there wasn't a gaping hole in the season. Mm-hmm. And you could draft, you know, the best available guy. Have you done that?
You know, we have a lot of needs, guys. So to sit here and say we addressed every single position on the roster in free agency, I wish I could say that we haven't. So there's still needs across, you know, on our depth chart. But you got to be disciplined with taking best player available, and we'll continue to do that.
Everybody talks about best player available. How is it always realistic, though?
I think, you know, honestly, when you get up there, we're saying we're going to take best player available. We're going to take best player available. And when you get up there, and I know guys have said this before, if it's close and you got a guy graded, you know, 201, 202, then of course, yeah, you'll lean towards your need. The mistake is when you reach down and draft a guy that's down here because you're enamored with a need, you know? And like I've said before, I really think that doesn't happen during draft day. That's happened in the past month. If you've made mistakes doing that, that's bad. So
is that when mistakes are made, saying we've got position X where we've got need, so you're overgrading those guys?
Exactly. We're sitting there talking about them as a group and, hey, let's push these grades up. And you might not even be really aware that you're doing it, but just because it's such a need, you're naturally pushing that grade up, and really, maybe that whole position deserves to be a round down, you know? So that happens.
In your years doing this, how many players, can you give us a rough estimate, end up on a final draft board?
Well, for us, I like to narrow that down. So our final draft board is 170 guys right now, yeah.
Right, so. You mentioned you had seven guys who you thought were comfortable at number seven. Does that mean there's no chance you're moving up?
No, there's a chance we can move up. There's a chance we can move up our back. Seriously, all those options are out there. There really is. Like I said, we've talked to teams in front of us. We've talked to teams behind us. I think doing our due diligence is necessary, just knowing. Because you don't know. I mean, we had those seven guys stacked and ranked. If there's our number one guy, if he were following, there's a chance we could go up.
How would you characterize the costs of moving up? Typically, they've been pretty high.
Yeah, you got to be mindful and careful of that. Like I said, we're trying to build here. We're trying to build through the draft. So you got to be very mindful and careful of that. You better be sure that guy is a major impact player.
I know you're holed up here, but have you followed anything that's going on downtown? The whole spectacle of this event and how big it is for the city at all? Or not really.
How it is for this. Yeah, I mean, it's cool, and yeah. I'll glance at it, but not really. You know, my wife says she wants to go down there and check it out, but I, you know, I've been downtown once since I've been here, so yeah.
There you go.
So I'm looking forward to that and just seeing the city and enjoying the summer, you know. So
do you feel the buzz of, even while you weren't here before? But I mean,
you can feel the excitement, you know. You definitely do. You know, for us, you know, we're held up in this room up here, so the draft could be anywhere. It's cool for Chicago, but we're kind of hunkered down here, so.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Ron. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.